Subset B under reports is first reading of Ordinance 2019-08. This is Title 3. Mr. Barnier, I'll turn it over for a staff report.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and members of council. This is a first reading of some revisions to Title 3, Alcohol and Malt Beverage. The initial discussion took place on this, on the ideas for change at a February meeting, and I believe the first draft of revisions was discussed at Legal and Finance in mid-March. In the council report, I've summarized those changes, and there are, as laid out, one, two, three, six different revisions in the language definitions section of the ordinance. Probably the most significant of these is clarifying what the definition is of a issuance of a special event license. It adds language. Now the language is revised to reflect that it would be a recognized event that's linked to or promoting tourism, and there's also general language that it can be a recognized event but not primarily planned to increase tourism. Before, there had been much more detail in there limiting it to certain types of specific activities. So this language is a little more freeing and allowing wider discretion for different people to apply for it. And these updates, are frankly, are consistent with the South Dakota Code section that authorizes the City Council to issue these types of licenses. The City Council or County Commission are required under that statute to establish the rules by which such a license would be issued. Secondly, revisions are found in Chapter 3 or Subsection 30208. This talks about the various classifications of licenses and those fees. The state of South Dakota revised its schedule or listing of licenses this past year. And so these changes to city ordinance simply reflect changes made at the state level. The short version of it is the state condensed the number of different classes of licenses from 22 or 24 down to 10. And so there are similar corresponding changes in the proposed changes to the ordinance. In the next note there, as far as the special event license, this language as proposed to be revised would remove a special event off-sale license to be allowed under city ordinance. The next change deals with the authorized number of off-sale licenses would remain at two. The authorized number of on-sale, and this would be the malt beverage license, I believe as I'll turn to that section, but I believe, as discussed, it would be now set at, I believe it was 43 based, is that correct, Faye?
Yeah, it says 23.
The background for this information is that up until this year, there was such a thing as a malt beverage on-sale license and a malt beverage off-sale license, two different kinds. The state of South Dakota combined those licenses. So by doing that, that's why when Faye says there are now 44 of those types of licenses, that's largely a result of the change made by the state in this licensing statute. So my recommendation is that in 302.12, that number would be set at 40. You said 44?
Well, sure. And actually, it's more than that because we did approve another one here for the dollar store. So now we're up to 45. So I'm not sure where we want to go.
We probably should have a couple more above that, or at least two or three more to be on the safe side, because we'd like to encourage new businesses to come in, and it might be a possibility they might need a license.
Let's let Greg continue here, and then we'll continue our discussions.
Then the changes following that, we will also another change is a minor change in language that indicates that when violations are involved on a license, that the city council can recommend suspension of the license, but it recognizes that the city council itself does not actually have the authority to revoke a license. The council makes a recommendation, but in the end, it's the state of South Dakota that either suspends or revokes a license issued under Title III. What I have listed as number 7 in the council report clarifies that structures under Title III are subject to the building code. In the past, there was language that implied that there was one set of rules for some on-sale premises and that this was separate and distinct from Title II. Also, this, as is proposed for revision, would remove the separate deck, patio, and beer garden requirements. The last of those listed changes, then, is in regard to inspections. And this currently, the ordinance provides that there's to be an inspection by the fire chief, building inspector, and chief of police. The revised language simply says it would occur within 15 days after the license is either issued or renewed. The purpose of providing that language, and although it's been part of discussions, it's never really been talked about with any great detail at Legal and Finance. Frankly, my idea in recommending including that language is so that property owners would understand that if there is going to be an inspection, it's going to be promptly after the license is either issued or renewed. I guess that my thinking behind it was that there's a purpose of an inspection is to see if there's some sort of problem with the premises, the sooner the better. There's not much point in inspecting a premises in the 11th month of the 12 months that they're licensed for. So that's my overview of the revisions. This is first reading and has gone through Legal and Finance and is now here before the council. Be glad to respond to questions from any council members about the draft that you have before you.
I got some questions and some comments. 3 weeks ago at Legal and Finance, this is the document that came out of the so sometime in the last week, since your last Legal and Finance, you folks had the opportunity to review this entire ordinance change, correct?
Yes.
You guys literally went through 18 pages studied this, correct? What I'm saying is, I think there's more like about 30 pages here. Lots of changes. Anyway, this is what I have been talking about for the last 2 years, that everybody thought I was crazier than hell that we weren't following our own regulation, let alone state law. And I'm not sure that we're doing it correct yet. Because one of the things that we have to do is designate how many SELs we're going to designate. We're not even close to that. In fact, I would challenge anybody but staff on the council to tell me how many SELs we've given this year alone. I do. I want you to research it, because it took me about 4 hours to go all the way back to January. You know that there's not an SEL given in Rapid City for the square? Not a single SEL since they built the downtown square. I'm not saying that we don't do that. What I'm saying is we're writing an ordinance and we're handing these things out like candy. I'm not sure that's what we're meant to do with SELs. Anyway, I would ask that you suspend the first reading until Legal and Finance has the opportunity to rip this thing, rip the hide off this. I'd like to work with Terry Kessler on this after Legal and Finance gets to look at it. I got a little experience with this title. I had a bar for 22 years. This is important. If we have an incident, the city's going to be liable here. And that's the reason I was very intent on we're not going to have wrestling while we're drinking beer downtown. And when we change the times, that's a completely different set of requirements. Now it's supper time, but nobody needs to be tipping a beer on the curb while the kids are wrestling. I think we need to look at the way we do some business. Anyway, I spent a little time in here. I made about 15 indications. It's really hard to follow. I mean, we ripped so much out of it that was garbage 2 years ago. Actually, longer than that, because Tim Potts made the majority of the changes on from page 8 forward. Tim Potts has been gone for 4 years. Anyway, those are my comments.
Greg, I got some questions.
Yes.
And I guess Faye too. In the statement of the number of malt beverage, since the state changed it to the cumulative, is on and off malt beverage.
Yes.
The way this is written, there's going to be a number placed in there that then would take first, second reading, posted in the paper before it would change again. Is there the possibility to either create by resolution that this number can be changed or my point is I think there needs to be more flexibility in that, the fact that if there is somebody that else moves into town, that we don't have to have first and second reading just to change it from 45 to 46.
And so your question, as I understand it, are we required to state the number of malt beverage licenses, or is your question, once stated, can it be changed?
My question is from the state law, does it require us put a number on that?
I do not believe that as far as malt beverages, there's any requirement that the city set a number. Obviously, it's included in the ordinance, so at some time in the past, a council decided to do that.
Any other questions, comments, concerns from council?
What's the advantage or disadvantage of having a set number? What's the reasoning for that?
I can only tell you what I've heard other people say. If a city acts to say that there's only going to be 10 malt beverage licenses in a community of 10,000 people, that may create some kind of value for that license, as opposed to 150 malt beverage licenses in a community of 10,000 people. Beyond that, I mean, there's a lot of things you could speculate about how it might or might not affect the city.
I can tell you this, that during last year's rally, you could buy a beer at 75 different locations in the city. Isn't bad if you're interested about sales tax.
I have a question and a concern, and maybe it's something that Chief Benderwater can answer. This inspection within 15 days of a renewal of a license, we typically renew all the licenses, 45 of them, at one council meeting annually. Is that something that's going to cause a problem with staff or? Okay.
Yeah, I'd like to go off of your question too, Ron, to the chief or to Daniel or to anybody that wants to answer. But my understanding, this was already current language in Title III. Greg added some specific language that stated if it's going to happen, it's going to happen in the first 15 days. I guess my question is, have we performed these in the past, and do you view it as a necessary deed?
I wouldn't say it's necessary. The vast majority are renewals. What honestly is probably more important are the compliance checks that are done throughout the year. So that is not necessarily done 15 days before or after. And some years we hit the vast majority of the licensee holders, but I don't think there's any year where we've hit every single one. But I do think that those are probably far more valuable because at the end of the day, the physical structure doesn't change that much. When it does, our building inspector is still inspecting it to see if there's some sort of concern with the health and safety code. I think that's what's more important is making sure that our police department still is able to do compliance checks, which they've done every year for as long as I've been here, and I know longer than that.
But the other important thing, and I don't know if Jody can kind of find this out, but I assume he can, is that if they've had a felony within the year before, a felony is something that would stop them from having that license.
Mr. Barnier, yes. I do think that there does need to be some language revision in 3.04.10, which is the inspections, if we're going to leave it there. Because it says after renewal, before the owner may begin sale of alcohol.
Well, I put the days in there simply because it was my understanding there was not much being done, as I say, in with these inspections. So any...
But this language makes it sound like if it's not done within the 15 days, they can't sell alcohol, or they can't sell alcohol until the inspection is done.
Right. I agree you could read it that way. It doesn't, it could be worded that it just simply that the inspection be done at some time. And it could.
If it's going to be done, I don't have a problem if it's within the 15 days. Just the verbiage needs some cleaning up here.
And are you thinking of in terms of a new licensee as opposed to a renewed licensee?
That would be my preference, yes.
That the to be sure I'm clear on it, that the inspection is a new licensee within 15 days.
A new licensee, it would be required within 15 days. A renewal, maybe. Is that what I gathered from the conversation? They're not all necessarily going to be inspected annually, so May is probably the key word.
Yeah, and my understanding is, and Jody could confirm it, but I don't think there's a regular practice of inspecting as you would think would occur from the language that's here. And again, this language doesn't even have to be here if it would be the council's desire to have it stricken altogether.
I personally don't have a problem with it going back.
All right. Well, I'm noting your comments.
Any other council discussion?
I've got lots of questions. If we're going to approve, this is a first reading tonight. We got lots of questions. Greg, let's go to on your remix here, Title 3, page dash 3. Bottom of the page, you've got the special event in bold red.
Sorry, what page?
Three.
As it used to be, had to be tied to a fraternal organization or one of these six things to get a special event license. Now then, understanding that the state relaxed that to a portion doesn't mean we can take advantage of it, but now we've added a recognized event. In the state law, I couldn't find anything that said what a recognized event was. So maybe you can explain on the next page there where it says a recognized event linking to development and encouraging tourism in the community and or county, or a recognized event within the city or county, which is not primarily intended or planned to increase tourism activities. Now, one sentence kind of negates the next sentence. I don't understand that, and I'd like somebody, I guess maybe I missed it when I did the word search on the state statute, but I couldn't find recognized event. So is that something that we created here in Sturgis?
To respond, as far as the definition of a recognized event, I agree with you. That's not defined in state statute. The state law does say that the governing body, county commission, city council, would establish rules of how a special event license would be issued. So it's the way I read this language and the way it's drafted, I think a fair statement is that one must be, the applicant must first persuade the council that whatever activity it is that they want to have an SEL for, that that's a recognized event. Now, it doesn't have to be a public event. And what that means is if someone says, I want to have an SEL to serve alcohol for a family reunion at the auditorium, the council is invited or the council has the opportunity to say, yes, we recognize that that's a community event, so to speak, and we'll issue the SEL. Or the council could say no, or what it, for their reasoning, they don't think it's a recognized event. So it's an attempt to identify the kind of event required as a threshold before you have this type of a special event license.
That sounds good, but what was wrong with the method we have in place? If I'm going to have a wedding and one of my grandkids gets married, I go down to Rod Bradley or to Mark Brook and say, hey, can you guys do the SEL for me at the auditorium? And their answer is going to be yes, because we're friends. But now what you're saying is we're going to change the whole procedure, and who's going to do the SEL?
Well,
it must be somebody with a current license.
That is correct.
So what's the difference? Why are we adding that delusion in there?
I guess I'll...
This gives the delusion that I, Mike Bichon, can come and get an SEL.
Well,
I understand that, but that's not what this paragraph tells me.
Well,
not what it says.
I think, Mr. Bichon, that when you talk about who it can be, if your question is whether or not a licensee can still provide an SEL, the lines immediately above what you were reading, I think, clarifies that, because it says in this language, a special event may include an event conducted by a licensee, which would be a Mr. Rod Bradley type of operator, holding a license issued by the city under those types of licenses for the following purposes. So I think the way it reads is this type of licensee can apply for and be authorized to receive an SEL for the following two types of recognized events.
Oh, I don't disagree, but then in the paragraph immediately following that, you've lined out wedding receptions, private family gatherings, events approved. We're really clouding this thing up here, because we've already got that in there, and in one paragraph you added in to confuse it, and in the very next paragraph, under special event on sale licenses, we've taken it out.
I agree with you that there's different ways you can state it. The directions, as I understood them from legal and finance, was that they preferred this more general language rather than the more specific language that had been in the ordinance. And so that was that's the best explanation I can give for the change in language, Mr. Bichon.
Oh, I guess I stand corrected, because I couldn't find anything in any notes from legal and finance that you even saw this.
We did see this. This has been discussed.
Thank you.
And I think it's important to note that previously, special events, there were two different licenses that were able to be applied for. If you were a veterans organization or a fraternal organization, you could directly apply for a special event. In addition, if you were a licensee holder, you could apply for a special event. The language, though, as to how a special or how a existing licensee was able to apply for a special event was vague, and that caused concern about whether or not the Knuckle, for example, was able to apply for a special event. And so what the language tries to explain is that if you are a fraternal organization, you can still host it by yourself. If you are not a fraternal organization or a veterans organization or anything else, the only way you can get a special event license is if an existing licensee actually does that for you. The only way to have a licensee do that is if it's for an event that the council considers either boost tourism or is an important community function, and that is left open for the council to determine. For example, Music on Main. Music on Main, existing licensees are able to apply for a special event license. We had a lot of discussion about, does that event boost tourism? Perhaps it boosts tourism some, but in reality, it's really more just a quality of life for the residents. And so it's up to the council each time the council considers a special event, whether or not that's an event that truly is deserving of a special event license. But it can only be applied for if you already have a liquor license or a malt beverage license.
I understand that. That's not the issue. The issue is that everything that happens now, we have to have a special event license for. There's a reason it's called special. We have a wrestling match on Main Street. We have to have an SEL. We have anything. We have to have an SEL. And I understand that the bar owners can come and request that, but we've got an SEL going on about every other week.
Mike, I don't believe that the wrestling event has an SEL.
It doesn't now, but it did before, and
no,
you
it did
voted
not.
For it.
It never had one, Mike. It never had one.
How about public input? Bonnie, come on up.
And that was a really good clarification you offered. But I think the issue and the problem at hand is that is not clear and apparent in this document. And I think that's where some of the problem lies. My concern also is procedurally, because one of the things that really troubles me with these ordinances, resolutions, whatever, the ordinances are the ones that have the first reading, second reading. How many readings do they have?
Two.
Two. Okay, so the thing comes out like here, and supposedly this is first reading, but my experience has been if these things don't all get nailed down now, it comes out again and it still has wrinkles in it, and we're on second reading and it has to go forward. There's the opportunities to really fine-tune and correct just aren't there. So when Mike said, can we put aside this first reading and clean this up before we have the real first reading? Really appeals to me, because there are some real inconsistencies in the presentation of information and how things are referred to, how they are printed here. There are some syntax problems. The document is not good, yet. And it can be, and it must be. And so this cannot be raced to the altar with a first reading tonight with a bunch of in-the-air changes that people think should be made, and then have it come back with those made, and it's still not good enough, but it gets passed again. That's troubling to me, because I am restricted by, guided by, directed by my city ordinances. And if I can't read this and get what you just said to us out of it, the document's not ready for any kind of reading. But that was a good explanation. I mean, I'm sitting here, and I've been reading through this thing, and I'm saying, just a minute, you just knocked out all of these other things that we usually do by special event. And then I'm thinking, okay, got to remember, this only has to do with if people want to serve alcohol. And so these entities can serve alcohol without a license. Anything else has to piggyback with somebody who's licensed. It's not clear. It's just not clear. And I think Mike is right. I may not agree with Mike in how he thinks each of these points should be established, but I do agree that this needs a lot of cleaning up. And Mr. Barnier has invited me to offer him edits and stuff, but I can never get those edits to him in time enough that they have any inclusion, because this takes a lot of time and work. And then when you have these crossed outs and put ins and blue cross outs and black cross outs and capitals one place and not another, you don't have that chance to say, how should this be? What's the right way to do this? This document isn't ready to go, and it's too important to let it slip on forward. And I don't think any amount of discussion here tonight is going to fix this baby. It's just not ready to go forward in any way, shape, or form. And I think legal and finance, I guess, is the parent of this. Probably needs to look at it again. I think it needs more scrutiny by people who have experience and the bigger picture, and maybe by some of us who just have the little picture, because we're the ones who are going to read it and have to abide by it as well. I think it's too big of a document to try and fix from here in public forum and follow the standard procedures.
I think this brings us back to something else again. I think what the attempt was on this particular ordinance, and I'm not saying this is right or wrong, I just want to bring this up as a point of discussion. We've discussed this quite often as far as, do we address the entire ordinance, every word in the entire ordinance, all at one time? Or do we work with the part of the ordinance that really needs to be fine-tuned within a certain time frame? And those are the two parameters that I think we have to look at. I think in this instance, what Mike is saying and what Bonnie is saying is like there's too much wrong with this, and so we really need to go over this and this and this. I guess my thought right now, or my question might be this. Do we have certain things in this that it's imperative that it's taken care of, let's say, before the rally? That's just a question I'm asking right now.
No, because you've got all the SELs done for the rally.
All right, well, that answers the question.
The concern that there is, and nothing regarding the rally, because whatever changes you make here, it doesn't matter. It's not going to be in force before the rally occurs. Mm-hmm. The concern that we have is ever since the state changed its laws, we have an incorrect number of malt beverage licenses. And so when we had the first discussion of this ordinance back in February, I believe, that is what was brought up, was wanting to change that number so that that number was correct given that the state law had changed. And then the discussion came about to say, look at the entire ordinance. And so that's where this draft was prepared several months ago, I think, and sent out mid-March to send out. So since that time, that's where we're at.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that at all. I don't think that should occur, Bonnie. Well, the problem is, in this particular instance, is we have to have a number down or no number for malt liquor license.
Malt
correct?
Beverage. Malt beverage.
Malt beverage license.
Malt beverage license.
Yep.
So that's what we're dealing with. And there's actually no contradiction anywhere else within the document as far as dealing with that specific subject. Am I correct on that?
Correct. The only other thing besides that number is just revising the type, the categories of licenses, because the state did combine several different licenses into one. So the number of total malt beverage licenses and then changing the type of licenses that there are the only things that we truly need to change, because that right now what we have is inconsistent with our ordinance and with state statute.
Hey, have you received a notice from Jason or from anybody at Department of Revenue that we need to make a change? Because the law has changed a significant long time ago. Now, with 45 malt beverage licenses out there, I can't imagine we would need very many more. But if the city council thinks we do, we could set that number at 100, and anybody that wants a weekend malt beverage license can open up a, quote, building with a foundation and have one. I don't think anybody here worries too much about limiting the structured, traditional building format for a malt beverage license. That solves the issue. But at this point in time, to change the entire ordinance for the one requirement, I guess I'd agree with David. I guess I could make the motion
a fake motion, by the way, to raise our malt beverage licenses on and off sale to 100. Let them come on in and have them. More sales tax, the better.
Mr. Mayor, following up what Daniel and Fay have talked about, the portion of the ordinance that identifies the classifications and the fees charged for licenses is 302.08, and that's what I think Fay would agree. That's what specifically is in contradiction with the new types of classifications provided by the state. Secondly, 302.12 is the sub 302.12 is the subsection that presently says malt beverage licenses limited to, I believe it's 21, and that's proposed, at least in the discussion tonight, to be set at 45 or 46. So it'd just be those two subsections.
I can't imagine that any bar owner sitting in the audience tonight would like to see 50 more malt beverage licenses anywhere.
I don't think anybody up here thinks that should occur, or would we let that occur. If we're going to have a number set, either there's going to be no number, we've talked about that, or if there's going to be a number set, it'll be a reasonable number. And if we're looking at about 45 right now, and I mentioned this earlier on, I said maybe we should just raise it to 47, so if we have two more businesses come in, we're not hung up on this. I'd even consider 48. And I don't know, and I'd like to hear from other council members on their thoughts as far as numbers on this.
I guess my thought is that if all that needs to be done really to get us in with the state statute is to do something to approve 302.08 and 302.12, we should do that tonight and be done.
Going off of that's basically going off of the state also. That is just changing the names according to the state statute. And it's right after, yeah. That's 11 and 12 and 8. That would be just to get the stuff that had got changed last July.
8, 11, and 12. That's the last digits on 302.8, 11, and 12.
I would make that motion for this evening.
Terry, could you also determine number on 302.12? Number
yes,
of licenses?
I would say 47.
Are we at 46 already?
45.
Oh, that made it 45.
Right. That's what's in there right now. Terry's suggesting the number there should be 47.
That's 23 or 24.
I would second Terry's motion on this.
So I got a first by Terry and a second by Dave.
Seven.
I'd want to continue discussion. Open it to public. I guess I'd like to add some discussion points at this point. I truly believe that if we're going to go into this ordinance and start changing a few spots, that it should continue down the process of cleaning it up to places that we are firm on tonight, which include, in my opinion, this requirement for inspection. This is something historically that's been on the books that historically has not been done. I'm just saying that if we're making changes, I guess at this point I'm not willing to vote yes for first and second. First reading is my point there. If we are ready to go there, we need to get further along than we are. But I'll open that up to further discussion.
Along with that, Mark, I don't have an issue with that, except by fixing 302.8, 11, and 12, there's absolutely no reason for us to come back and fix the ordinance at all. So we've achieved exactly what we set out to do, make it work for the council. We need to fix the ordinance. And this is an ordinance that is in shambles. This needs to be gone through top to bottom. So if we're going to do that, there needs to be a limit of how long that vote is effective, perhaps no more than 3 months that those changes become effective, that forces this council to come back and fix the rest of it.
Well, and we've dealt with this before, if I remember correctly, on one of the ordinances we did not too long ago. And I asked the question, can we come back and revisit this in 2 months, the rest of the ordinance? And the question was, yes, we can.
Anytime the leadership of the governing body decides they want to look at this, the three of you can bring any ordinance forward for review.
Right. We're aware of that.
I wanted to make sure the audience was aware of that.
Good.
Rhea, you're reaching. Yeah, Rhea was reaching for a microphone.
I actually think that we should make these revisions tonight, approve this, and I agree that we do need to move forward and we need to go ahead and continue the discussions that we've had. That being said, Mike, I would really like it if you would share your thoughts with me.
Oh, no problem. I'll talk for hours.
I would actually prefer that you would send your thoughts to everybody, but...
I tried to do that when I was on the leadership. But
you don't have to be on leadership to share thoughts, Mike, at all.
What I'm saying is yes.
Thank you.
No
I'll look
problem.
Forward to hearing that. So then that will help our discussions at Legal and Finance.
Right. No. And I agree completely with Rhea. I mean, if you've got some thoughts about any ordinance, Mike, and you've got something you want to pass along to all of us, we'll certainly take it to Legal and Finance and we'll look at it. And it doesn't mean that we'll necessarily go along with it, but we might go along with every word you give us. But go ahead and give it to us.
One of the points I'm trying to make, Dave, and Dave is the president of the council, so it's kind of important that what he says. Actually, Dave has more power as the president of the council than the mayor has by statute. The rest of the council didn't even know you were working on this. The first time I saw this complete ordinance like this was on Thursday night. I could have looked Wednesday night, but I didn't. What I'm saying is, we don't know what the hell you're working on. There's nothing in the notes that we received to date. Now, maybe from last Friday, there's notes out there that says something, but you couldn't prove it by me, Rhea. What I'm saying is, Legal and Finance is pretty much a dark hole. And we hear what we want to hear, and then this stuff comes to a vote, and it's not ready. And there's always been a problem with ordinances.
I'm going to disagree with you, Mike. We have had opportunity to look at this ordinance. I'm not on Legal and Finance. I've seen this in the notes from Legal and Finance over the last several months. And this is something that has been... at your request, that they look at the whole ordinance, and this is something that we did start back in February, looking at this.
I can't find any notes, Ron, but I'll look again. You remember when we used to have an ordinance committee, and this was done by committee, and we looked at an ordinance from top to bottom, and nobody liked it because nobody could agree? Now we're doing it in public.
Bonnie, come on up.
I'm sorry to see you at cross purposes as individuals on the council, but I think that you can't go forward and create good documents, and make good decisions, if there isn't at some points of departure. No, because I think that's the only way you really look at and scrutinize what is right there in front of us. And I have to say, Rhea, at this point, with what's happened in my life in the last 7 months, I don't even remember which ordinance it was. But we're at one of these points of departure that we felt the pressure for you to make a decision right now. And I was given the commitment we would go back and revisit that within a few months. And that has not happened.
Exactly what you're talking about. You're talking about cemetery.
Oh, is that it?
Yes.
I don't know. I don't even remember.
And we have talked about the fact that we will revisit that.
Yeah.
At the same time, is there any anybody ever brought up anything about the cemetery ordinance? We're not sure about this, or we're concerned about this or this. Nobody has brought up any criticism.
I mean, from this side of the fence?
From that side of the fence since that has been passed. Will we at the same time get that? So, and actually, the only thing that's left on that to do, it's all a matter of semantics and wording.
Exactly.
Content, for the most part, is exactly as it should be. Pricing is as it should be. We've talked to for a long time.
But until you clean up.
So the language will get cleaned up. Should have been cleaned up earlier? Yes. At the same time,
until it's cleaned up, it's not a good ordinance.
No.
It's not a good document.
No, it isn't. And
but
I would say
never
this, from
did
a semantic
I feel.
Standpoint, I would say that if somebody that's an English teacher like you would go to it and say, this is not a good document, from a standpoint of a lawyer taking it, I think they would say, like, okay, maybe some of the semantics are not very good here, but would this stand up in a court of law? I would think probably that document would stand up fine. We would have no problems with it.
Let's stay focused on Title III, though.
All right. Sorry. Sorry to digress. That was my fault.
I don't want you to take the criticism personally, David, because it's not intended that way at all. And honestly, I don't have a clue who works on what, because that's not very apparent out here. And never was it, never did I feel that that ball was in my court, that I had the right or the place to bring the cleanup of that document back up. The commitment to me, I thought, my understanding was that you folks would revisit it with an interest in the concerns that I and some other people expressed.
And Bonnie, we do have a prioritization list of the ordinances that we are reviewing. There is a list, trust me.
No way for me to know that until
right.
You say that right now. But the point being, there's a lot of dissension here on this. And anything that passes here tonight on this is going to be a marginal pass. And there are issues of semantics that are important and, again, make us look pretty foolish when anybody brings out and reads our document that says retail on-sale liquor is a person, because that's what this says. It should be cleaned up, and it should be cleaned up before it's passed. And I honestly don't see the harm if none of this impacts our immediate concern, which is the impending doom of Raleigh, then why does this have to move forward tonight? Why can't it wait 2 more weeks for some cleanup? What's our rush? It seems to me that I frequently see this council make some flimsy decisions based on time pressures. And I'd like to see you out from under that, because I don't think that's how you serve us best. And you know that my intention in starting to come to these meetings was not in any way to criticize or demean or challenge the actions of the council. I'm the one who got sick and tired of hearing people out there who have no idea how hard you're working at this and what it takes, criticizing you and the choices you make. No, my whole role in coming here is to vindicate you, because I think that's typical of a small and governing body like this to be in the line of fire. But from my perspective, you aren't always making the right steps in the right order, and I just personally am always peeved by a situation in which people don't want to do what they're doing well. And I think our governing documents are important enough to be done well. And this is not.
Mr. Mayor, can I ask what the motion was?
The current motion on the floor was for 3.02.08, changing the names and the types so that gets in line with state law. Section 3.02.11, which is the hours of operation, to be in line with state law. And then also 3.02.12, which is has the limit of the license number at 47, is what the motion was. Is that a fair statement?
Yes. And then I'm going to make
currently. You're ready.
There you go.
I'd also like to make an amendment to strike 304.10 from the Title III.
We have an amended motion by Councillor Kessler.
I will go along with that additional amendment.
The second. 3.04.10. It's the language that discusses the inspection.
Is your intent then that there will be no inspections even on the new ones?
So, Councillor Martinson, your second
with
that amendment. Okay. I want to continue public opportunity to discuss questions, comments, concerns. Bonnie, yeah.
I'm just using the table and I can't find that. What you're talking about.
3.04.10 is the verbiage that had the additional language added about 15 days after renewal or application that there was an inspection done by the fire chief, the police chief, and a building inspector. And the amended motion is to strike that entire chapter.
Councillor Crane, just regarding some of your comments on that, that wouldn't actually prohibit us from doing that, which honestly, anytime someone would apply for a new license, we would still do that anyway.
And the intent would be, just so everybody's clear, that we would continue to revisit this and make improvements to the ordinance?
Certainly.
Well, I guess to that point, if this does pass as first reading, there will be second reading, and there's opportunity between there to, yep, of those portions. Yep. Not the entire.
Right.
So we're at 302.8, 302.11, 302.12, and 304.10, which is struck entirely. Bonnie, I got to give opportunity for others. Other input, public comments, questions, concerns.
So I got a bit lost on the numbers of the different sections and stuff. I think I'm following what you're saying is, but just to clarify on the inspection piece of it. So if I understood Daniel correctly, you know, by state law, you guys or, you know, the city can and whoever they want to represent that can come in and do an inspection whenever they want anyway, right? So that goes to Rhea's point of a may in there, but Terry's motion is to just strike the language, and it's
no longer included as the motion is so
specifically designated, but it's still there, whatever, right?
What is the language as it currently reads is before the owner operator may make a legal sale, he, she shall be required to have the establishment inspected by chief of police, fire chief.
Yeah. And that language is troubling.
And that's the
when
language.
When you read it, because then when you read it on Saturday, then you wonder what's the objective, you know, where's this coming from, what's going on, you know, is it a,
sure.
You know, what are you looking for? Mm-hmm. None of us are saying, you know, you can't come in, but it's like, you know, where are we headed with this thing? And so, we all probably know in the back of our minds you can come in if you want to. None of us are saying, you know, we don't want you in there to a certain extent, but, that's the balancing act, and, you know, how the language reads in the ordinance is, you know, should be clear to the objective.
Understood.
And you know, so it's either taking the language out or you know, modifying the language, one or the other. So I guess we'll see where the motion goes.
Yeah. Rod, if there is going to be an inspection, what do you think that should be inspected? The safety of the building,
whether the cash register is bolted down tight enough. I mean, hell, I don't know. What are we inspecting?
Well, that's what, you know, not to dodge your question, but what I'd be asking is what you're looking for, right? Because, you know, you're not going to find beds till after the inspection. If you're looking for beds in the basement, you won't find them till after the inspection, right? And some of the places aren't even open within 15 days
after the
of when the renewal is.
What?
Right? So
by striking this as was suggested, it is removing the requirement that we do that, because physically it becomes very challenging at best for us to actually accomplish that. That does not mean that we will not do it, which we would do, especially for new applicants, to make sure that it's an appropriate facility. And whenever someone does take out a building permit, of course, our building inspector is coming through to see the kitchen remodel or anything else. Other than that, we do have a practice that occasionally the police will come through, and we'll continue to do that, and that's occasional. It's not like it's every Friday and Saturday night, but on occasion we'll have someone come through, as well as a bar team during the rally.
Correct.
And occasionally our building inspector would come through as well, but it's just so the council is aware, as well as the public, it doesn't mean yearly we're going to do a complete, you know, review of the of all the facilities.
Right, because, I mean, that's quite a task, right? Yeah. And to answer, you know, Mike's good question, I'd prefer city staff doing something more productive than, you know, than everybody's busy, and, you know, do we want to try and fit this in? And potentially incur more costs as a city to do this? And what would we want to get out of that? So that's one thing. The second thing that jumped out at me is the number of licenses, right? And that's a big topic with a lot of different, you know, and I'm not sure we've adequately discussed that. You know, I mean, because there's a process, right? So if there's 45 now and there's 47 and somebody wants to come to town, does the city sell the license to have a new one? Or, you know, there's that aspect of it. And then, you know, what is the right number? And it's a balance, right? There's no right answer to it. I'm not disagreeing with the number, but, you know, there's an overbalance to it too, right? There's a point when there's too much. Well, that's the point where that's my point of, as we have we discussed this enough? Right. Right. And I don't want to come across like, you know, I'm asking for protectionism or anything like that, but, you know, I'm not so pro new business that it's overly dilutive to existing businesses.
Here's a scary thought. In less than 13 months, we're probably going to have a new census. If we gained a couple thousand people, we're going to have two new liquor licenses in town. I think we were short 300 at the last.
Well, we still have to absorb the annex.
What I'm saying is,
right,
you know, every time we add,
right,
it dilutes the profit potential for these people, which dilutes everything else for the city. So, I mean, when you add these type of licenses, we kind of cut our own throat.
And some of them are dormant too, right? And, you know, and that's a, you know, that's a probably a, you know, an add-on discussion to this topic too, right? You should just be increasing the number when some of them are dormant.
Yeah.
Or almost dormant.
I've been out of this a long time, but the Department of Revenue, as far as the sales tax side, had a law that if you did not have X amount of legal purchases of malt beverages within a 12-month period, you lost your license. No, it was on malt beverage at that point in time. Because I had to qualify that because my license came due just before the rally, and I hadn't on the first renewal, I didn't have any sales for that 12th month.
How about any other comments, Rod, on the specific motions, the motion that was made? The number is the tricky one for sure, and the number of malt beverage licenses is a difficult one.
Right. So, anyway, I guess we'll see which way it goes here, but both of them are, from my perspective and other license holders, anytime you start talking about Title III, it's a sensitive topic because there's a wider range of opinions on it, and there's a lot at stake, and, on and on. So it's a sensitive topic of where we're headed and, all we can do and this and that. So anyway, that being said, I guess we'll see where it goes from here.
How about other input? Thanks, Rod.
Thanks, Rod.
Good evening, Council and Mayor. Brian Carter, Knuckles Saloon. I don't really have a lot of input on this other than the fact, as you're talking about putting a cap on, and I don't know where my new property, if we ever get it built, what I'm going to need for license out there, but don't forget about me.
That doesn't... That would be an addition.
That's the point of this.
Right. We get a manufacturing license, but then it comes with on-off what we manufacture
does,
and
still,
want.
It still exceeds our limit. It counts towards the number, total number.
And so the question of do you want a hard limit, because in communities where there are hard limits, you ultimately come up to the point of saying there's a new business that wants to come in town, and they're not able to come into town from it. So
that's when you go out on the market and you buy one. That's where the value is at.
Great. And I guess I don't have a problem with it, but we don't have one before we do this. I don't need to buy one out there. Okay. What all do I need? What license do I have to have on off sale?
It'll be part of the manufacture. Yeah.
Okay. But other than that, I'm.
Other public input. I did. I said I had concerns on the and the number, and that was addressed. But we have a first and a second on the floor.
Can I ask one more question?
Yeah, go ahead, Rhea.
And I know, I apologize, you answered this earlier, Faye, Greg. How imperative is this that we make a change within the next short period of time?
My response on that, and then I'll hand the mic to Faye, is that the class of licenses and the amount that Faye would charge for a license is not consistent with state statute. So I think for consistency, so that someone knows what a license is going to cost them, it would be good to change it. As far as the 30410 inspection, the fact of the matter is that language that the inspection shall be done has been there for a number of years. And nobody really noticed it until I put in a time limit as far as when it should be done. So I say that because probably just leaving it the way it is isn't going to make things change for anybody over the next 90 days. Faye?
Just for a correction, it did say may and not shall.
So we got to...
That's the same thing. I think right now nobody could get a malt beverage license for the rally right now anyway because there's not enough time. You will be hearing a transfer on the 29th, though.
So we got a first and a second on the floor. It includes a specific amendment with the striking of 304.10 along with the 3 points before. But let's go ahead and roll call this ordinance. Did we start with Jason or Mike last time? Mike, we're starting with you.
No.
Terry.
Yes.
I am no. Dave.
Yes.
Steve.
No.
Rhea.
No.
Ron. Jason.
No.
First reading does not pass. So we will be revisiting that again.